From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. NFL star Steve Gleason was a safety for the New Orleans Saints, and he became a hero after blocking a punt in the team's first home game after Hurricane Katrina. But not long after retiring from the NFL, he was in the news again.
It was a surprise appearance by Steve Gleason. His first appearance on camera since going public that he had been diagnosed with ALS.
Obviously, I don't how to move or talk quite the way I used to.
Just 6 weeks after Gleason's diagnosis, his wife Michelle found out she was pregnant, so Gleason started taping video diaries for his future son.
People say, oh, it's such a sad, tragic story. It is sad. And so they're right, but it's not all sad. And I think there's more in my future than in my past. I believe my future is bigger than my past. And so that's uplifting. That's inspiring.
After taping thousands of hours of footage, the couple called in filmmaker Clay Tweel. He assembled it into a film called Gleason, and it's on the shortlist for a Best Documentary Oscar. When I met Clay, I asked what about Steve made him think this doc could be more than a tragic tale about a chronic disease.
I think one of the things that stood out to me is that Steve has this quality of what we sort of called like the warrior poet mentality, where he was a fierce competitor, somebody who defined himself by his physicality, but also had this existential questioning side of himself.
Very cerebral
and very articulate in being able to voice what he's feeling as he's going through it. And so that leads to a very complex person and a very interesting person to follow. Steve and Michelle can light up a room, and there's this sort of energy and quality to them that I wanted to have come across in the movie as well. So, you know, while things are certainly sad at times, I think why the movie works is that it also shows the light and it shows the love.
Not to focus on the sad, but I think one of the other things that's remarkable about the documentary is that you really have some of the most graphic scenes I've ever witnessed on film about the toll a disease can take on someone. Tell me about the decision to keep those parts into the movie, and did you have to talk with Steve and Michelle, and did they have video power?
It was something very early on that I talked to them about, and they said they wanted to show what the daily realities of living with ALS is like. Mm-hmm. And so that means getting pretty down and dirty sometimes. Mm-hmm. And The Theory of Everything, that movie that came out a couple years ago, is great. It's a fantastic movie, but it doesn't...
This is the movie about Stephen Hawking, who also has ALS.
Correct, yeah. And it's a beautiful movie, but it doesn't really show, like, how hard it would be to get him into bed at night. And they just sort of skip over that. So we wanted to be able to show that. We were showing them cuts to be able to make sure that we were going to test that line, but we would never cross over it.
Well, other moments where they show their vulnerability, I think so. Michelle is this really powerful character. She's just had a newborn and her husband is dying. And she's dealing with both of them. There's a couple scenes where you're filming them fighting, you know, which is, again, something you don't really see. And I'm wondering, were you in the room for that? And or even if you weren't, when you were looking at that footage, how are you, again, making that decision about this is heartrending and too intimate to put into the movie, and the director who's like, I think this is needs to be part of our story?
Yeah, there are some intimate scenes. And the fighting to me was really getting at what I think is an often overlooked part of stories about illness, which is the caretaking side. It becomes not just about Steve, but about how this illness is affecting the whole family. There's this scene where they're in the bedroom and having this fight, and Michelle at this point is just exhausted, and she doesn't have anything left to give. And Steve is sort of questioning why.
He's extremely needy and kind of pestering her.
I feel like you have no compassion towards me. Everything is rushed. You always have somewhere else to be. You finish my sentences. You rush any care that you give me. What can I do to be more important to you?
I don't know.
It's a little hard to hear right there, but Michelle is just deflecting Steve and saying, I don't know.
That's one of Michelle's favorite scenes in the movie. You know, like I showed it to her and I was certainly worried about the reaction, but she was like, no, that was my life. That's what it's like.
And also, I think for the viewer, it does a service. You're like, you know, you can see A Theory of Everything, but it's just an abstraction.
Yeah, there's something that there's an analogy that Michelle told me when we were filming that was I think, really important. She said ALS is like this stair step type of disease. You lose a particular skill or motor function, and then you adapt your life and you figure out how to live.
You
without,
like lose your ability to use your legs, you get in a wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah.
You lose the ability to swallow, so you get a feeding tube. Mm-hmm. And then you adapt to like life on how to eat and mm-hmm. maintain nutrition on a feeding tube, and then you lose something else
mm-hmm.
until you get to the end when there's really nothing left
yeah.
to lose.
Did it take a toll on you going through all this tape? And I mean, even the moments that make it to film, I was sobbing
yeah.
throughout the movie at different points for different reasons.
I think it was a very emotional experience. And honestly, I had to sort of put my director hat on. And, you know, you try to capture that feeling the first time you watch something, and then you can become numb to it. But you always want to be able to log that in your brain.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't until we were in the sound mix for Sundance, and there's a scene in the movie where Steve goes and he leads this chant right before a New Orleans Saints game. And the whole stadium is cheering for him. I was watching it play back, sort of like on the big screen for the first time, and I just started crying, you know? And I'm like, it really, the flood of everything that I had watched and experienced and getting to know these people, like it all kind of came to a head there for me.
Mm.
And that was the movie is like more emotional for me now than when I was actually putting it together, I think.
So there's a timeline throughout the movie where we check in on Steve when he first is diagnosed, and I think it takes us all the way up through 2015. How is Steve now?
Remarkably, Steve is doing very well. The movie chronicles a lot of his loss of things
mm-hmm.
and where Steve is in the disease. He's fully progressed. He can only move his eyes. And so his life is quite regimented. He, you know, picks up his son from school almost every day. He still does lunch lady duties once a week at the school. And, you know, Steve's doing whatever he can to make the best use of his time. He's still kicking ass with his foundation and everything.
Late Wheel, his new documentary is called Gleason, and it's streaming on Amazon now.